Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see y'all. I feel like, I don't remember, maybe you know that story about the Apollo 13 and then it came back into the atmosphere and it was all burning up and then all of a sudden they landed. That's how I feel right now. Kind of like, bloosh. So if I look a little wiggy, a little nervy, well, it's been quite a year, but it seems like not long ago, like a moment ago that we were climbing the hill with Jonathan and the armor bearer. That was a year ago now that I was here, and that year went quickly. And life is going quickly, and my nephew's here, and he reminds me of me when I was playing football in high school over here, and I think about how quickly that goes. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? Because it's flying away. It's flying away fast this time. And so let's get into the Word. I'm glad I'm landed safely here. This is home to me. I just feel home here. And thank you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for praying for me. It does feel like I'm a world away down there when I'm down there. I might as well be in space. And so thank you. In Nehemiah, we're going to be in Nehemiah today, chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Would you stand, please, if you can? Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 and 18 say this, "Then I said to them, you see the distress that we're in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which has been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your good hand that has been upon me. It's just by your grace and your power that we can be here. We thank you for each one that's here. The orchestration to bring us together right now is absolutely no accident. There's piece by piece. You put it together and you put us here together for your eternal purposes. So, Lord, I pray that you use this brief time before we scatter again into this lost and dark world. Use this time for your glory. Change us and mold us so that we can reflect Jesus Christ more. Touch our minds with your wisdom and our hearts with your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I'll give a brief update. There we are. You guys know them. We'll talk about where we live a little bit, and then we'll take you right down to Cuernavaca. Let's go to the next one, Todd. This is, we've been working on this for 3.5 years already, the land buy, and it's processing along, and now I'll have the first building permit that I've had in 3.5 years, so I'm pretty fired up about having a permit, because we're going to be building a wall. I'll be built, you know. I have determined that I have a difficult job because the easiest thing that I do is lay blocks when it's 90 to 100 degrees, and I look forward to that because it's simple. Hard but simple. But we're going to get to lay blocks all along this side of the property, and because right now there's a broken down fence there, and so it's going to be cool. If God willing, next year we'll be able to show you what I see there. I see a field of dreams. We live in an exceptional place in Mexico, a beautiful place in Mexico, just outside of Monterrey, which is the like the Chicago of Mexico. And so this is just an exceptional place. We're going to be building it. It's already been exceptional, used by camps and used by thousands. And how about it get used by 10,000s by the time we're gone, huh? That'd be cool. Let's go to the next one. Now, this was our first camp, post-COVID teen camp, and it was really cool to see the kids there, and I keep trying to quit camp, and God keeps telling me I'm not quitting camp, so we'll just keep doing camp, and one of my board of directors, he always laughs at me. I love camp. I know, Joey. Yeah, we're going to do it again. Let's have camp, so we're going to keep going with the camps, and I don't love all the responsibility of camp, but I sure do love all the results of camp. Let's go to the next one. This is our kids' camp. That was our kids' camp. The kids are all fired up to be finally going to camp again. And I want to mention, about 10 years ago, I mentioned the need for a van to you guys. And you gave a love offering. I mentioned how dangerous it was getting and that my van was breaking down and I didn't want to be on the side of the road in that danger. And you guys, I was on my way to Chicago, I think it was that next week, because you guys gave a love offering and I was able to go to Chicago and buy that van for $15,000. It was like brand new, 27,000 miles on it. I've run her into the ground. And isn't it glorious? It's 10 years later, and here we are. That van's running the ground. That's the good news. The other piece of the news, it's running to the ground. And I need a new van, and I'd like to. So when you're asking people to give, you want to. I try to. How can I sound this sound? Make this sound like less money, but I can't. So I've researched and researched the price of the similar van like that is about $40,000 here in the U.S. By the time I get it down there into Mexico, I can buy one for $45,000 new. So we're going to need to raise $45,000. And I do say need. I accept the necessary stress of my job and what I need to do. And driving around a lousy vehicle to add to that stress is what I would call an unnecessary stress. So I do put that need before you to pray and pray about how God might use you if he would. And I just thank you, because one of my favorite memories as a missionary is that 10 years ago, how you showed your care for me. And so I'm hoping by next year, I think I can run this one for a little bit more, I'm hoping by next year I can come back in another van. And so now that little commercial break is over, we'll keep on going. I got precious cargo in that thing. The record's 34, by the way. 34 kids can get in that puppy. Let's go to the next one, Todd. Oh, this is our update in Cuernavaca. We had VBS there, and we keep constructing there. Ha ha ha. Yeah, that's it. I think it cuts off early. Yeah, that was the VBS there. It's awesome to think that 3 years ago that was a bunch of dirt, an unformed plot of land, and now we bought that. Last year we got that. I was asking you to help with the lands around it, and we bought that, and it's just a beautiful thing. Now that's the second VBS there, and we're going up with the second floor. There's 10 people living there right now. 4 adults and 6 kids are living there. We have a permit to have 8 children, and we need to. We don't have enough room for what the ministry is going on there. There's not enough room for outreach to the community. Betty would like to. Betty has done in the past, kids clubs for after school, helping kids for homework. If we go up with the second floor, we can open up a space on the main floor to outreach to the community more. That right now the dining room on the main level is half the size it needs to be because I had to build a bedroom there so we could get started. And so we're going up with the second floor, and it's exciting because it's needed right now, and it will allow us to expand up to 12 to 20 kids, and that'll be cool. And so right now, what we need to do is raise monies for the roof and raise money for getting the interior done, because we have a mission team in the works coming in February and March. And so I know where I'm going to be in the next few months, God willing. It's going to be down there getting ready, because we've got to get the roof done. We've got to get all the interior walls done, get them stuccoed, get the floor done, get the windows in, and get all that done before February 17th, because Brother Randy, where's Mike Deems? Is he here? I want to see him. There he is. Brother Randy and Mike, they're coming down. Rod Elbor, maybe he's gone. He's at our church this morning. But teams are in the works, and we're going to go up, God willing, with the interior walls of that. And by next year, we're going to see the second floor done. As I give report, driving in with my new van. No, never mind. But that's the goal. And I've got a praise from Friday. Thank you for all of you involved with Friday. What a beautiful day we had. We cleared over $15,000 for that. So that is a mass yes. That's three times more than we've ever cleared on that event. $15,000 is a long way toward getting that our roof. That we need 25 for that. And so now I can call, and we're going to need to get a couple more crew members down there. We've got my brother-in-law and 3 more going right now. There's a crew of 4, but to make that February deadline, we'll probably bring in a couple more. I'll be down there, and we'll be hard at it. And I was thinking, I got to figure out how to back her off the red line just a little bit on my way. I've had her on the red line all year long. We got to talk about that, Randy. Help me, brother. I got to, Mike, where's Mike? Help me, bro. I got to back her off just a hair. But we got a lot of stuff to do this year, and I am fired up about it. I have been totally wiped out, totally exhausted, but if I get just a chance to breathe and think about and look at these kids singing, that just fires me up. And because God's moving, God's hand has been upon me, and that's why I'm here. Praise God for that. I thank you, Lord, for that. Wow, that's amazing. And so I want to talk a little bit about Nehemiah and the project and how to build a beautiful wall this morning. And Nehemiah, he responds to a great burden. And he has to risk his own life just to enter into the construction, which I think is just really cool. He responds to a great burden. He goes before the king, risks his life to go before the king. He is dreadfully afraid, the Bible says. That's scared. And he goes and gives his petition to the king, and he finds favor with God. And so then he's headed to Jerusalem. That is cool. And then we find these verses that we went in here. We read earlier, you see the distress we're in. How Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. I told them of the hand of God which has been good upon me. They said, let us rise up and work. Let us rise up. Nehemiah can't do a lot himself. He can do his part. He was doing his part. But then he had to come before the people, give them the report. And then it was up to them. I told him of the hand of my God which had been good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. And then they set their hands to this good work. Yes! Sweet. Sweet. In a wall, a weak spot, if you have a weak spot, it will eventually reveal itself. Sooner or later, it will reveal itself. Let's look at verse 5 of chapter 3. Because we've got a whole bunch of people working together. Them, next to them, next to them, next to them. And then next to them in verse 5, the Tekoites had made repairs, but their nobles did not put their shoulders to the work of their Lord. Now that stands out to me in this text. 16 times, I think it is, that these are working next to these, are working next to these, are working next to these. Every one of them having their part, their piece. They are invested in this great work of God. But then you got these dudes that say, hey, let's just sit over here and do nothing. We'll just check it out. Who knows what might happen? I don't want to be on this side or that side, because if the enemy wins, then I'll just go over there and do nothing. And then if these guys win, then I'll just say there, well, you guys did a great job. That's pathetic, and that's not what we are called to do. If you are the Lord Jesus Christ, you are called to invest, and you are called to participate in the great work of God. God wants to move through you. You are part of the building blocks. Amen? Isn't that awesome? And the guy that's sitting doing nothing says, well, I don't know. But let me tell you that it is. It is an awesome thing. We're His craftsmanship built for Him. Let's go to Ephesians. Verses 8 through 10 of chapter 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. And say, you didn't save yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works. You cannot earn it, folks. Lest anyone should boast. For we are, what? His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Hallelujah! That's cool! He's prepared something for you. I got a pile of blocks right now laying in Los Canelos, about 300 blocks. I know exactly where they're going. They're an eyesore sitting there doing nothing. The picture wasn't of those blocks doing nothing. The picture was of what's going to happen. I see in my mind what's going to happen with those blocks. God sees in His mind what He wants with you. He wants to build something glorious in your life. Who gives a rip about Brother Gary? I'm God's pig pen block. I'm glad you're glad that I'm here, but I'm God's pig pen block. Let's not glorify that too much, because that God picked me out of the pig pen. A dying drunk that he came to save. He came down. He saw me when no one else could see me, when I had disappeared, when everybody else was waiting for me to die. He reached his hands down to save me in the pig slop. And it was his power, it was his grace that could pick me up out of the suction of the enemy because I was dying. And then he picks me up and he goes, "Look, what a beautiful block." And I said, "No, I am not. I am not a beautiful block. Well, let's clean you up. I'm going to clean you up." And those powerful hands are gentle too. They're so gentle. But I stink. Well, I'm going to take care of that. I'm useless. No. I'm going to put you right here. Now that you're all cleaned up, you kind of shine. And I'm going to put you right here where everybody can see you. Hallelujah. I don't want to be seen. Here. This is your spot. I don't want this spot. This is your, I don't want it. Here you are. Hi, everybody. Nice to meet you. I'm Pigpen. I'm the Pigpen block. It's nice to be with you today. Man. God's good. Wow. Well, everybody's called to a vital position. Nehemiah is just one block. That's all he is. Pastor, doesn't that feel good? Let me tell you something. He's a block. Just a block. You're a block. You're a block. I'm a block. Pigpen. And you're a block. But don't call me that, because God changed me. I'm not in there anymore. I'm Gary, and then later I get a new name. That's going to be cool. Hi, block. Beautiful. Beautiful gift you shared with us today. Wow. It's my nature to isolate. I don't like being in front. When I was a drunk, you could not literally have paid me $100,000 to stand in front of a group of people and speak like I'm doing today. I would not have done it. Not for 2 minutes. So I'm a loner. I'm like a loner. But God, He calls us, and we're not supposed to be alone anymore. We're really not loners. We're supposed to be interlinked. We want to be loners. Why? Because we get hurt, and then we want to try to escape what causes pain. But then. That doesn't work. Yeah. In a stone wall, I've done a lot of stone walls. In a stone wall, they fit a specific way. I put it like this in my mind. This stone wants to go a certain way. It has a way it wants to go. and it's interlinked with the other stone. I'll find how it goes, and you get used to how you put it. And one has to be interlocked. The weight of one will hold the other in place, and the weight of the other will hold the other, and so that they cannot move. They don't go loosely. They're a dangerous, fragile wall. Any pressure whatsoever on it, and it will fall on whatever's coming. And so we need to be interlinked. I think of the one. There's one stone in the block. I'm building a 100-foot rock wall right now by the house. And there's one rock that I got to check on. It's a little bit outside of the other ones, and I got to just double check when a little pressure comes that doesn't have a sign that it's moving. Hey, are you moving a little bit away from the church? Because if you are, I'm concerned. But let's get the backhoe out and give you a bit of a nudge. Because you're going to hurt some people. And you're going to hurt yourself. Let's be careful. Because this is the church. He has come. He is building beauty in this baby. Hallelujah. That is really cool. But that's not easy, because we're not all that great, are we? Hallelujah. I don't want to be next to him. Here. Let me show you how beautiful this can be. I think when I'm building stone wall, I'm standing, I'm thinking about the loose ones, and I'm making sure that they can't roll down the hill, because once they start rolling, it's a little bit too late to catch them. I'm thinking about my 5-year-old. I got to be aware of where she is and how I'm working, because a rolling stone is very dangerous. I understand wanting to isolate. I get that, but I'm not safe that way. I'm not safe. You might say, I'm unique. Well, no, you're not. Well, yeah, you are. You are unique, but not in the sense that you don't need others. Every rock on the bottom part of that wall is very unique. It's very special. It's everyone is different. They're like snowflakes, but they all have a place. They all have a place they want to go. And the master, you should have seen that. It took 2 months to build that wall. It's about this wide on the bottom. And it goes about 18 feet high, and then there's blocks on top of that. Every block unique, every block needing the other block. Every rock needing the other rock. If you break free from where you're supposed to be, you're going to do a lot of damage. I want you to think for a moment, according to the text, after Jesus died and they went through that trauma, and then he lives, gloria a Dios, hallelujah, he lives, that's glory to God, he lives, and then they're with him for a while, and then he sends them to the upper room. They go to the upper room. What was the next thing on their mind? Can anybody tell me? What's the next thing that the text, in the text, what's the next thing? What happened to Judas? What happened to him? When Judas came to see to Jesus, to give him that kiss of death, what did Jesus say to Judas? Friend, did you catch that? Friend, why have you come? Why did you get loose? When John Mark writes about it, he doesn't mention Judas at all. What he said, what Jesus said to Judas, he mentions the destruction afterwards. How they took Jesus, how everybody scattered, how Peter jumped out, and how John ran away naked. The destruction. You don't think you're important? You don't think you need to be interlinked? All these fathers that are leaving their families, husband and wives, calling the name of Jesus, and they're talking, we just can't do it. Yeah, you can. Buckle up. Learn. Makes me sick when I see these kids without their fathers. Oh, he was in the church, and then what happened to Brother? It takes 6 blocks to hold 1 block firm. I know. You got 1 block. You got 2 on the side, 2 on the bottom, and 2 on the top. That's what it takes to surround 1 block. They have to be interlinked or they will not be strong. Oh, I want to be to the side. No, you don't. You're going to be broken. And everything next to you is going to break something too. I'm unique. Yeah, you are. You are. That's why God wants to use you. Rahab tried to live in a tall, strong wall, didn't she? That didn't work. Tried to isolate. Then when the people of God came, that wall came down and she walked out to be with the people of God. This is what I want to be part of. This is what I need. I tried to build my own isolated place, but that didn't work. First Peter two, verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This is we're the spiritual sacrifice. We're not talking about turtle doves anymore. We're talking about your life as a living sacrifice representing the Lord Jesus Christ. You are being built. How are you at being built? What do you mean? Well, I mean this. I'm a good builder. How am I at being built? How am I when I am not in control? How am I when I'm in the hands of the Master? How am I at being fit? And this message is born out of that because I'm not very good at it. I'm not very good at being fit. I can't fit myself. I lamented not a month ago, Lord, I've been here 18 years and I don't fit. I don't fit anywhere. The wall will show the stress. Last year, I'm working on that children's home with all my heart, but I'm under a stress load, and I'm frustrated, and I can't stop being frustrated. I'm frustrated with the culture. I'm frustrated with this. I'm frustrated. My dear niece, Axa, who loves me dearly, Uncle Gary's always mad. And in my heart, I am not mad! It's this stuff! How are you at being built? I haven't been doing very good. He's the master builder. Your life fits when it's in His hands. Nehemiah 4:10. It's very interesting to me. Well, I'm in 1 Peter. Let me get back here. Then Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing, and there's so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. A few verses before that, it was going fantastic. And then four verses later, we can't do it anymore. And that's where I got to, basically. I don't fit. I can't. Axa pointed out the stress fracture. She's going to be an architect graduating. She's graduating in December. It's interesting to me that she's the one that pointed out the stress fracture. Look, this needs to be fixed. You're hurting people. But I'm building! You're hurting people. You're right, Axel, but I don't know how to fix myself. That's right, you don't. Only the Master can fix you. In His hands. He reveals. I watched a master worker. I got to work with him for months last year. And we had a buried box. I wired the place and all the boxes and all that stuff. They buried the box in the cement. And I'm like, brother, there's a box buried over there. And he's like, well, I'll get it. I said, I don't know exactly. It's in this area. I don't know where it is. He says, I got it. But I said, the tile's already laid, the beautiful tile, we don't even have any more like that. Brother, I got this. And I said, okay, I'm gonna learn something today. He took water and ran it down the electrical tube, which I wouldn't have thought of in a million years, because you don't connect water and electricity. And he takes water, runs it down the electrical tube, and he says, this will reveal where the box is, because the water will come through where the little bit of cement is. And I'm watching him like that. But then, okay, we got the box, but it's in the middle of this tile. And I watched him remove the tile, put back the tile, put the box out so I could wire it, and you could not tell the difference. Only a master can do that. Only the master can do that with you. But we have to learn. We have to sit down and learn. We have to realize that my best fit is in His hands. I love this thought because I've been fighting for years now. The fit. I don't like this spot. I don't like this, and I don't like that, and I hate that. And I got to do that today. And laying blocks ain't all that great. And I got to lay a rock wall. Oh, there's stuff I enjoy about that, but it's 100 today. And there's this, and there's that, and so I just don't like the fit. I still don't fit in Mexico, but I fit in His hands. I fit in His hands. And it's the only place I can do anything right. I don't want to hurt my family. I don't want to hurt people. I don't want to hurt you. But you know, there's a lot of pressure on a fragile vase when you're up here. You know what I mean? Just a block. But with everyone else. And if people would understand that, I'd be a lot better. I'm just a block. Got six around. Randy, thank you. Randy's over. I got God put a little girl right here. I got to take care of her. And then on their side, my wife. And then I got Randy. And I got Brother Rod. And Erickson, my wife. And I got Mike Deems. Thanks. God's doing something, ain't he? Because all of a sudden, we're in each other's wall. And it doesn't take me long to love you, brother. I love you, man. Was that uncomfortable?
You want to have a man hug? Love you, Randy. Randy prayed for me. Randy's wife, Bonnie, came today. It surprised me, and Randy prayed for me as I entered into the ministry. Thank you, Randy, for coming. Thank you, Bonnie. They're in my wall. I need the wall. I can't, if I try and the more I, if I want to separate out, I'm going to do damage. I don't want to do damage. I'm going to settle in. I had a reparation to make with AXA. We're good. But she got. I think she has me off the pedestal now. This isn't the place for a block. It's very precarious. What happened to that pastor in New Richmond? Let's go to the next. I got it. Oh, that wall? That's the backside of this. It surrounds the back of the children's home where all the children are going to play. Isn't that cool? It took months to build it, thousands of dollars to build it. We raised the money for the land. Now we got a patio back there. We're sitting there eating. I got to get a shot of this. This is our first meal. Before, this was totally useless. Now look at this. Look at the work that went into this to protect these kids so they can have a safe place to play. Glory to God. Let's go to the next one. There's old Negro. He's the dog. He's the him and his they got two dogs. Names Negro y Negra. Negro and Negra. That's Blackie and Blackie. But in the male sense and the female sense, they thought a lot about the name. We laugh about it now. Well, you thought, how long did you think about naming these dogs? Yeah, pretty long. Blackie and Blackie. There, whoa, stop right there, brother. There he is. He's, I took that. Or the, he, here's the problem. Negro, he likes to go out and fight in the street. Anytime he gets a chance, he's out there in the street and he's getting beat on. He's getting beat on and then he comes back. When he was younger, when he had the strength, yeah, he was whooping everybody. And so he was good. He was good. But then he started coming back wounded and limping and hurt. And he can't do it anymore. And now he knows he can't do it. We don't know. If he doesn't learn that he can't do that, he's going to die out there. And I looked at Negro, and when I said to Betty, I talked to Betty, I said, I've got to learn. I don't want to be Negro. I've got to learn what God wants, or I need to leave the field. I'm not going to hurt people. I'm not here to hurt people. And thankfully, Negro is there. He's teaching me as I'm mumming up. He comes up to me. He's such a sweet dog. You know, Negro, he's good with people, but he's not very good with dogs. Anybody else like that? You're not called to be a dog person. You're called to learn how to connect and love and grow in Christ. But I love dogs. Yeah, me too. Well, let's go to the next picture. There's where he belongs. You see how uncomfortable he is? But that's, I'm right where I belong. He's right where he belongs, right there in the children's home, where he's protected. Let's go to the next one. Here's where you belong. This is your church.
You struggling? I get it. We have to learn to love each other. God's building a glorious church. Jesus Christ said, I will build my church. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we're here. Thank you that the gates of hell will not prevail against us. But Lord, help us to learn. Help us to be one. I thank you that you prayed for us to be one. It's complicated, Lord, but you're the master builder and we're in your hands. You can put us together like we cannot. You can fix us like we cannot. Lord, we pray that you do that. Lord, I pray that you start healing, that you'd heal some wounds. There's wounds here. There's wounds from stones that rolled away. There's wounds from difficulties. There's wounds in family, Lord. Oh, bring some healing, Lord. You're the master healer. You're the one that can bring, you can fix it. You can heal it. You can give us the strength that we need. Lord, keep us from danger. Keep us together and use us for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.